Hare Krishna. So today on Sunday, 30th of August, we welcome you in the Sunday Feast program, English language. I thank all of you to be here in the middle of the hot sun on Sunday. I'm sure you are cool here now. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jaya Mudiraye. Before reciting this Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the very means of conquest, one should offer respectful obeisances unto the personality of Godhead Narayan, unto Nara Narayan Rishi, the supermost human being, unto Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, and unto Srila Vyasadev, the author. This is the mantra that we chant every time before we give lecture on Srimad Bhagavat. So the Lord appeared in the Himalayas to perform tapasya. It is very interesting to know that Lord went to perform tapasya in Himalayas in the form of Nara Narayan Rishi. The Lord performed his political activities running the kingdoms in Dwarka. The Lord went to take rest in Sri Rangam in the form of Sri Ranganathji. And Lord, when the time came to eat prasad, he went to Jagannath Puri. Because Jagannath Puri is Annakshetra, Chappan Bhog. And when he had desire to play and have fun, where he went to Sri Vrindavan Dham. So this is Lord's wonderful activity. So that is where it is. Why I mentioned, because Nara and Narayan, Nara Narayan Rishi is actually he came as Arjuna and Narayan came as Krishna in Dwapar Lila. So we offer our respects to all these personalities and Srila Vyasadeva also before we start our speech on the descriptions of the pastimes of the Lord. So today what I am going to narrate, a small story which is the cause of Srimad Bhagavatam. How Srimad Bhagavatam, the greatest of all literatures, came into existence. So we know that when Arjuna and Yudhishthir Maharaj and Bhimsen, Nakula, Sahadev, they all left the kingdom, as soon as Krishna left the material world from the sight of our vision, at that time all the Pandavas left and they put their grandson, that is Arjuna's Abhimanyu's son, Arjuna's grandson, Parikshit Maharaj, who was a very small infant at time. So they put him on the throne and they left to north side to go back to kingdom of Godhead. And then slowly Parikshit Maharaj grew up, and Parikshit Maharaj, there is a full chapter in Bhagavatam. Who is Parikshit Maharaj and what are his qualities? In fact, in short, I can tell you that whichever great personalities we know of, including Pandavas and Pandavas second generation and all great rishis, whichever names we come across in the holy scriptures, all their qualities were present in one personality, that is Parikshit Maharaj. Also in his reign, there was nothing like eating meat having illicit sex, having intoxication, or having gambling. Nothing like, there is no concept of these things happening when he was a king. That is why when Kali came, and when he wanted to kill Kali immediately for his offense of hurting a bull, who is the emblem of dharma, the Kali immediately surrendered. So Parikshit Maharaj could not kill him. So Kali said that, give me a place in your kingdom. I am also your citizen. Please give shelter to me also. Said, go to the place where there is illicit sex, where there is intoxication being performed, where there is gambling, and when there is violence to innocent animals. So Kali came back after going to all over the world and he said, sir, I am very sorry. I don't have a place in your kingdom because nobody performs these four activities. So what do we understand from this? That actually Kali is supposed to reside wherever these four activities are performed. Wherever there is unnecessarily violence and eating meat of the flesh of animals, wherever there is connection between opposite sex illegitimately, wherever there is intoxication and getting bewildered at the level of intellect by taking intoxications, and wherever there is squandering of money and property of the Lord for petty causes, at that place Kali resides. This is the home of Kali. Wherever these things are performed, if in our house, yes, it's the home of Kali. If it is outside, somewhere in ghettos, that is home of Kali. So such a king he was. In his kingdom, there was no sin being performed. Because by the law of knowledge of the Lord, 1/6 of the karmas of the citizens have to be accepted by the king. Today's kings and today's ministers and prime ministers and rulers, you can imagine how many sins they must be accumulating just by acquiring the post. People are putting big garlands on them, you know. For what actually? For accepting the so much of heaps of sinful activities of the people in India now. Or in the world also. So they are booking their place in the worst kind of hell. Because they have to accept so many of sins of their kinsmen, and they perform so many wonderful sins that they can go further down and down and down. But King Parikshit was not like that. Nobody would perform any sin. Everybody was engaged in following the rules and regulations of Varnashram Dharma. As per their position in society, they were running their work, Brahmanas and Kshatriyas and Vaishyas and Shudras. Very beautifully they were running their kingdom. So such a person was, in fact, it is also explained that rains would come only in the night time. And daytime there was no hampering of work. Abundance of fruits, vegetables, grains to maintain life. There was oceans were filled with jewels. Mountains were filled with herbs, medicines. Everything was so beautiful. It was a God-conscious city, country. It was king of the whole Aryavarta. Chakravarti Samrat, Parikshit Maharaj. And he was a Rajarishi, perfectly controlled. He had full control over his senses. He was a pure devotee of the Lord. Had a heritage of Pandavas. People like Arjuna, Yudhishthira, they were father and uncles of Parikshit Maharaj. Grandfathers and uncles. Great dynasty of great people he was coming from. And he was befitting that dynasty also. And he had complete control over his thirst, hunger, sleep. Was fully knowledgeable. He was actively engaged in serving the Lord. And because he has taken darshan of the Lord in the womb of his mother, when he came out of the womb of the mother, he was always searching and judging whoever he would see whether he is Krishna or not. That is why his name is Parikshit, who is always examining each and every person who comes across his life whether he is Krishna or not. Because in the womb only he saw Lord Krishna. In the size of a thumb, fully ornamented, completely decorated with all the jewels and all the beautiful Aishwaryas, he appeared in the womb of Uttara. You can see the fortune of Parikshit Maharaj. Unless one is free from material desire, the Lord does not give darshan to that person. That means in the womb only he was a pure devotee. In the olden times, the Kshatriyas would beget Kshatriyas, Brahmanas would beget Brahmanas by Garbhadhan Samskar. such a soul was attracted in the womb of Uttara as a son of Abhimanyu. So you can imagine what kind of a person we are talking about. Even taking his name, hearing about him, purifies our existence. For years our heart gets purified just by hearing about such a great personality. And that great personality one day went on hunting. As hunting is the sport of all bona fide Kshatriyas, to maintain their chivalry, they will not go and kill goats, you know, like today's people are catching all the goats and tying them and putting them into the situation where they can't even move. They dope them, they give them injections, and so many things they do, and then they kill the goats and eat their meat. These kings would go to forest and hunt for wild animals, ferocious, and showing their chivalry, they would kill them and bring them back. Such a personality he was. And he went one day on hunting excursion. And at that time, whole day he tried his best. Nothing happened and he was very thirsty. So he went to the ashram of Shamika Rishi. And Shamika Rishi was in meditation, completely in trance. He had no connection with the body at that moment of time. He had gone beyond, he has transcended the physical plane, mental plane, and on a spiritual plane he was somewhere else with the Lord. He was oblivious with the guest's arrival. And at that time, he called for the Rishi. "Please, I have come, I want water." The Rishi was completely in rapt meditation. No response. One time, two times, three times, many times, the sage did not reply. So the king, who was completely in control of his senses, somehow, by the inconceivable arrangement of the Lord, became very angry, because the sage was not receiving him well as per his position. So he picked up a dead snake and put him around his neck as garland. It's a very insulting activity. For a sage, you should flower garland him, you should bow down to him, touch his feet, take his blessings. But instead of that, he picked up a dead snake and garlanded him with dead snake. Such an insult. Still the Rishi was in trance. He was not at all knowing what's happening. And the sage's son, a small baby, you know, maybe 7-year-old Brahminical son, very powerful, educated and trained in Brahminical culture. His name was Sringi. And he was playing with his friends, Brahmin friends, at the banks of some water pond. And because he was a great sage himself also, he suddenly came to know within his heart that somebody has come and insulted my father. Such kind of powers were there in Brahminical people in those days. Not like today's Brahmins, you know, who smoke and who watch television, cricket match and do swaha and Om Namah Shivaya, Om Narayana Namah, and again, how much is the score? What is the score? And go out and puff a bidi and come back again and do their rituals. Not like that. True Brahminical people. Even as a child, he was so powerful. He could understand from within his heart that his great father has been insulted by somebody who has come. And immediately took out his Brahminical thread, broke one thread and cursed that person. Whoever has done this will die in 7 days' time. A snake bird will come and bite him and will kill him. And this curse was so horrible, you know, it was so horrifying that the meditation of the sage broke. You can see, when you utter bad words, it is very disturbing actually. It is disturbing to the heart of everybody. So at that time, immediately the sage woke up from meditation. And actually by his Trikala Darshi, his power of being, seeing the future and present and past, he could also understand what had happened. And he became very angry himself. How could his son do this without even knowing who had come? What was his position? He was like a father of the whole nation in those days, you know, king to be representative of God, a true king, Chakravarti Samrat, maintaining everybody, cows, animals, also human beings, everybody was maintained well. Such a pure devotee, Rajarishi he was, saintly personality of a king. So he got very angry. By the time, the king had gone, but the curse resounded in his ears, he understood. And that time, Shamika Rishi called Sringi and scolded him. This is a misuse of Brahminical power. You have whatever powers you had in immaturity, you have misused them, and you have caused a great damage to the whole country, the whole nation, whole Aryavarta, in fact, whole world actually. But Parishrungi already had uttered the curse, so it had to act. And it is said that from that time on, the degradation of Brahminical culture started, which is the beginning of Kali Yuga. The top of the society, Varnashram Dharma top, is Brahmins, who actually make the standards, guide society members, give them guidance to all other classes of people, and maintain serenity and devotion to God in society. So they had powers, but they were never misused. Even Vishwamitra Muni had so many powers, he could have killed Tadka and Subahu and so many demons by his own mantras. But he didn't do that. He went to Dasharatha Maharaj, requested Ram Lakshman to come with him, and they killed the demons because they were Kshatriyas that time. So they would not misuse their powers. When this is misused, Kali Yuga began at that time. So what to do? The king came to know that how he could undergo a situation where he had lost control over his thirst and hunger and sleep. He was also bewildered. But he took it as the will of the providence. We should know from this that the king had enough powers to recurse the Brahminical boy, to, you know, react to that. He was enough powerful. But he took it as a will of the Lord. So many things happen in our life, you know, we sometimes blame people for that. Many things happen and we are very, very eager to blame others for our failures. But a failure is not considered failure if we don't blame others for that. You can fall many times, again rise again and progress in life. But if you start blaming somebody for that, then it becomes a real failure. King Parikshit accepted everything as will of the Lord. So this also, actually this turned his life completely. You can imagine, from he went home, immediately renounced all his kingly ornaments, his crown, his jewelry, his kingly dresses, everything he dropped on the spot, and only wore a kopin. And you can understand by his action of giving up everything that he was not attached to his position. If he was attached to his position, he would have said, "Oh, 7 days only now. Oh kings, oh queens, please come. Oh sons, daughters, daughter-in-laws, please come. Let's enjoy for 7 days. This is my last 7 days, you know. All my power, all my wealth, all my enjoyments. Let us come together and give me maximum pleasure in these 7 days. Because I am going to give up all these things." He didn't say that. This is very significant also. He was prepared to follow the will of the Lord, not only in saying yes to it or in words, he was actually proving it in action. He immediately renounced everything that he thought he was possessing, because he knew that everything belongs to the Lord. The Lord has given me all these things. It is meant for serving Him. We are all supposed to utilize whatever Lord has given us in His service only. Srimad Bhagavatam preaches in the next slokas, it tells us that one should never use material gain for sense gratification. Whatever material gain comes in the course of our life when we perform actions, those material gains should not be used for sense gratification. They should be used to serve the Lord. Whatever facilities we have, like we have a beautiful hall here, air conditioned, beautiful tiles and wonderful peaceful situation, so that we can discuss the Lord's pastimes over here. Very wonderful things we can interact over here. But this same hall can be utilized for gambling, for illicit sex and for intoxication, for kitty parties. So whatever the Lord gives us as a reaction or as a fruit of our action, we are supposed to use that in service to the Lord. The Lord gives you more, and then more comes and more we give, use in service to the Lord. So he gave up everything. He wore a simple kopin like a sadhu and just started walking. Gave up his kingdom, gave up his palace, gave up his wives, children, money, position, power, influence, everything he gave up, and just started walking towards the bank of Ganga. And by this time, the news spread all over the world that King Parikshit has been cursed by a Brahmin boy. For 7 days he will die by the bite of a snake bird. So all the sages, you know, they were respecting him so much, because he was a sage in kingly dress, as much as them. So many thousands of sages gathered to actually be with him. And he went to the bank of Ganga, and from there came this illustrious son of Vyasadeva, who is the author of Srimad Bhagavatam. His name was Shukadev. Shukadev originally is in a parrot of Radharani in Golok Vrindavan, who came as a sage, as a son of Vyasadev. I'll tell you a few things about Shukadev also, Shukadevji Maharaj. He was in the womb of his mother, and he would not come out because he had no interest in the material world. And father and mother were worried what to do with this son. He's not coming out. Still staying in the womb only. So father Vyasadev recited Srimad Bhagavatam to him. And that time he decided to come out. And lo and behold, he just came out and started walking towards forest. He had nothing to do with the material world. He just walked. At that time Vyasadeva is running behind him. Please, come back, O son. He was totally oblivious. He was not even listening what Vyasadeva was talking. And he went on in the forest. And then there were some children in the forest. They were reciting some shlokas from Bhagavatam. Aho bakiyam tanakalakutam. They were describing the beautiful pastime of the Lord when Putana came. Baki means Putana, the younger sister of Bakasura, who came, stanakalakutam, who put poison in her breast, in the milk, and like that. You know, beautiful descriptions of the Lord's beauty, how he's holding flute, how he's walking in the forest with flower garlands and playing flute and peacock feather on the head and wearing yellow garment on the down as dhoti. Beautiful description about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Some children were reciting when they were collecting wood for their guru. So he stopped. He was attracted by the beautiful description of Sri Krishna. So he turned to children and said, "Who are you? And what are you reciting? Who has taught you all these things?" They said, "Our Gurudev has taught us these things." "So can you please take me to your Gurudev?" "So yes, yes, we will take you. I want to learn more about these beautiful descriptions." So they took him back to Vyasadev, who was the guru of these children. And that's how, you know, inspired by the children's beautiful narrating, he came back home and Vyasadev again taught him Srimad Bhagavatam. So two times. He was an authority on Bhagavatam. And then again he left home, of course. And he actually was such a personality, Shukadev, that when Vyasadev was running behind him and he was walking forward, some of the ladies were taking bath in the pond. And as soon as Shukadev came, they saw him, they continued taking bath. But when they saw Vyasadev coming from behind, they immediately got up from the water and started covering themselves. Because Shukadev was totally renounced. He had no attachment to the body. He had nothing to do with the differentiation of body, male and female. Well, Vyasadeva was a grihastha. He knew what a male and female is, and he had begot children also. Such a renounced personality, he would not even wear clothes. He would roam around with the sky and direction as his clothes. Such a personality arrived over there. When Parikshit Maharaj came to the bank of Ganga, Shukadevji arrived over there. You can see that's a beautiful scene. It's like, you know, all the sages of all over the universe, including Narad Muni, including Vyasadeva himself, including Bharadwaj Muni, Vishwamitra Muni, Vasishtha Muni, Shamika, everybody was there. Whoever was supposed to be the great rishi, the Sapta Rishis, everybody was there. All who were supposed to be great rishis, they were present over there. And they gathered. And Shukadev, all of them unanimously said, "Ki Shukadev be the speaker in this audience." They all sat down on the bank of Ganga, the holy place. It's also important, whenever we need to, have exchange of knowledge, the location has to be also proper. You cannot go into fish market and start talking Bhagavatam. It's a mode of passion place. Liquor bar is a mode of ignorance place. Forest is mode of goodness place. River bank is mode of goodness. A bagicha, a garden, or a mountain top, or a bank of the pond, or bank of the ocean, bank of the river. The nine places we are favorable for interacting with devotees, interacting with the topics of the Lord, having satsang of the devotees. We should seek these places whenever we need to chant, we need to pray to the Lord. The environment is very important because we are influenced by the nature of the environment which are around us. So they went to Bank of Ganga, which is a very beautiful place. Ganga is supposed to be Charanamrut of the Lord because she is emanating from the toe of the Narayan, Lord Vishnu. So they sat down and they unanimously agreed upon one thing, all of them. Even though his father was present in the assembly and many senior sages were also present in the assembly, they said that Shukadev is the authority and he should be put on Vyasasan and he should speak and we'll all listen in the name of Parikshit Maharaj. So they all sat down, Shukadevji settled down on the Vyasasan and Parikshit Maharaj put a question to him. And this question is our subject matter of today's class. What was the question he put? He put a question, what is the duty of a person who is standing in front of death? And in answer to this question, Shukadev Maharaj spoke 18,000 verses to enlighten him also, all the sages also, and all the people in the world who are residing. He answered in 18,000 verses, and that is in front of us. This is only one volume. There are 17 more volumes, and there are also 30 volume set, where Shukadevji is very beautifully answering the question, what is the duty of a person who is standing in front of death? And we should know that this literature is most esoteric one. Because in this literature, in the answer to this question, there is nothing described which is fruitive. If you do this, then you will get that. If you do this, you will go here. If you do that, you will go there. At the same time, you understand in what occasion it was spoken. Parikshit Maharaj did not have unlimited time. Huh? He had only 7 days. Already maybe a few minutes must have been lost, few hours must have lost from going home and coming back and removing everything and coming detached, walking all the way to Bank of Ganga. So it was an emergency discussion. It was not supposed to be a peaceful discussion which can go on for months together. There are many discussions in the scriptures we can read in Vedas which have gone for months together, like 2 months Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spoke to Saranatana Goswami at Varanasi. And many more are there. Hours and months together, descriptions are going on. There are some sacrifices and description went on for thousands of years also. But here there was an emergency. Parikshit Maharaj was going to die in 7 days' time. And whatever need to be told to him had to be completed in 7 days' time. We have to reorganize all the talk, all the message to him within this stipulated time. So there was no question of lunch break and tea break. There was no question of sleep in the night. There was no question of answering nature's calls. There was no question of, you know, having relaxation in between, you know, थोड़ा सा आराम कर लेते हैं, बहुत हो गया, दिमाग जरा गर्म हो गया नॉलेज से, कंप्यूटर इज हॉट विथ लॉट ऑफ इन्फॉर्मेशन, पुट एसी स्ट्रॉन्गर ऑन दैट, इट्स टू हॉट, इट्स लिटिल टायरिंग, इट्स टू कोल्ड, इट्स रेनिंग, और इट्स लाइक टू सनी, इट्स टू ब्राइट, इट्स डिफिकल्ट टू कॉन्सेंट्रेट, नथिंग लाइक दैट. देयर इज नो क्वेश्चन ऑफ ऑल दीज थिंग्स. टाइम इज वेरी प्रेशियस, 7 days, 7 nights. एंड इमेजिन, what is the proof that actually Parikshit Maharaj had perfect control over his senses? That 7 days and 7 nights, he never went to sleep. He never went to drink any water. He was not obsessed by thirst. Was not obsessed by hunger. So that is a proof that he had come under control of not having control over thirst, a situation because of Lord's arrangement. Because otherwise, if he had no control over thirst and hunger, he would have been disturbed in 7 days so many times. He would have taken break from Shukadevji Maharaj, say, please let me eat something, I am not able to concentrate, I am feeling weak, or I am feeling tired. In fact, when third day came, and fourth day came, and fifth day came, and sixth day came, he was more and more and more enthusiastic. And if you read the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam, Shukadevji Maharaj is congratulating Parikshit Maharaj again and again. Thank you very much. I am inspired by seeing your enthusiasm. At that time he was supposed to be tired, exhausted, thirsty, hungry, sleepy. At that time he is asking questions more enthusiastically than the first day also. That is a proof that Parikshit Maharaj actually was in perfect control of his senses. And the event of losing control over thirst and doing some offense to a sadhu was Lord's arrangement. Because the Lord wanted, after his own departure to his own abode, he wanted the message of his pastimes and the devotional message to be broadcasted to the world. So he made a reason. He wanted the best listener and the best speaker to interact, and a great literature was supposed to come out. And this is that literature. So today our question, our topic is how to put questions. Many people have many questions, right? I will read one shloka. Srimad Bhagavatam, text number 5, chapter 2 and canto 1, Divinity and Divine Service. The very second chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto. Munaya sadhu prushtoham bhavad birloka mangalam yatkruta krishna samprashno yenatma suprasidati. Translation. O sages, I have just been questioned by all of you. Your questions are worthy because they relate to Lord Krishna and so are of relevance to the world's welfare. Only the questions of this sort are capable of completely satisfying the self. So Prabhupada ji writes, I will write to read the purport, very beautiful purport, we'll discuss about it. Since it has been stated here and before that the Bhagavatam, the absolute truth, is to be known. The questions of the sages of Naimisharanya are proper and just because they pertain to Krishna, who is Supreme Personality of Godhead, the absolute truth. In Bhagavad Gita 15.15, the Personality of Godhead says that in all the Vedas there is nothing but the urge for searching after Him, Lord Krishna. Thus the questions that pertain to Krishna are sum and substance of the all Vedic inquiries. Which means what? That if at all we want to understand the essence of our life, Shruti Sar. Shruti Sar means the essence of all the knowledge that is to be heard. Then we must inquire about the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. The whole world is full of questions and answers. This is very interesting. Isn't that true? Even at this moment you can cross your mind and understand that there are so many questions in the mind. Maybe what will happen in the evening? What is my wife cooking for dinner today? When my son is going abroad for education, will he get admission? When will I get my job? I have applied for 10 applications I have already put. So many things are running in the mind simultaneously. And most of them are questions. Answers are very few because we don't know what's going to happen next. So, the birds and beasts and men are all busy in the matter of perpetual questions and answers. Because the birds and beasts also have their languages, no? They also, when they come in the evening in the tree and they make so much of beautiful sound in the evening, what they are doing? They are putting forward their questions and answers. They are just interacting with one another. The exchange of day's experience. In the morning, the birds are in the nest. They become busy with questions and answers. In the evening, also they come back and again become busy in questions and answers. The human being, unless he is fast asleep at night, he is busy with question answers. Only at fast asleep condition, we don't ask any questions. So also the lawyers in the court and the students in the school and colleges, the businessmen in the market are busy with questions and answers. The legislators in the parliament are also busy with questions and answers. And the politicians and the press representatives are also busy with questions and answers. Although they go on making such questions and answers for their whole lives, still they are not satisfied. Satisfaction of the soul can only be obtained by the questions and answers on the subject of Krishna. So we live in the material world. We have the influence of three modes upon us, right? Sattvaguna, Rajaguna and Tamaguna. And as per our guna that we are in, we ask questions. Like somebody is in Tamaguna, he will ask, where is best liquor available? Where can I get scotch whiskey? Where can I get a good drug in the night today? Where can I have a rave party? Where can I have women available to enjoy? This is the questions asked by Tamogunis. And what about people in Rajaguna, mode of passion? They will like to know where I can make more money. Today, which movie is very beautifully broadcasted in which theater? Which mall I can go? Which dress I can buy? What is the best in market now available? What is the latest? What kind of TV is available? What kind of mobiles are available? Just trying to enjoy in the material world. This is mode of passion. And a mode of goodness also. Philanthropy, helping sick people, helping old ladies, helping children, helping orphans, doing activities like treating people, giving donations, visiting, performing austerities. It is the mode of goodness. So they will ask those questions. Which yatra is going now? Where is, what kind of vrat is coming next month? Chaturmasya, what we will do? And there are questions beyond this. That is called as questions in Divya Guna. And the Divya Guna question is this: what is the purpose of life? Who are we? Who is Lord? What is my relationship with the Lord? And how do I start the relationships? How do I begin to interact with the Lord? What is the modus operandi? How to interact with the Lord? What is the mantra by which I can connect with Him? How do I establish myself into devotional service to the Lord? Where is the Lord? Where does He stay? How does He look like? What are His features? What are His qualities? Which mode is He in? Who are His participants? Who are His associates? Whom does He interact with? Whom does He stay with generally? What does He wear? What does He eat? What does He play? What does He do with His devotees? These are all questions in the divine mode. That is called as Divya Sattva Guna, Vishuddha Sattva Guna, in which the Lord is residing. And only the questions, it is said that if you are entangled in getting answers of tamoguni questions, and if you get answers unfortunately, then we will perform the activities in tamoguna, derive tamoguna in us, and die in tamoguna, and Krishna says, Ado gacchanti tamasaha. They will go to the darkest region of hell to suffer the reactions of their sinful activities. If we get answers of our passionate questions about enjoyment in the material world, and we do enjoy in the material world, then we come back again and again in the material world. Maybe human body, maybe animal body, maybe body of various insects or whatever is suitable to our consciousness. But madhye tishtanti rajasaha. The gati is explained already. Even as devotees, we are not pure devotees. We are still trying to perform some activity towards Krishna. But we also do have mixtures of so many activities in us. Sometimes the demon becomes prominent in the mind and we want to watch a movie which is something like sex movie or some horror movie or some, you know, the urge comes because we have run in the past, no? All these things. Sometimes the urge comes to eat the fish which we used to love very much before we became devotees. And sometimes we want to also see women and see beautiful men and try to go after them and think about them. So we are also a mixture. Although we are in the dress of a devotee externally, the mind is pulling you one time in tamoguna, one time in sattvaguna, one time in rasoguna. This is a struggle going on in mind. Tukaram Maharaj says, Devasa Ratra Amma Yuddhase Prasanga. That means constantly the devotee is at war with his mind, which mind is pulling the devotee from one end to other end. So if your passionate questions are answered and you respond to them and act upon them, then we will come back again in the world of birth and death. So we have to be very careful. Savdhan, what is going on in the mind, please be careful. And if you get answers of your sattvaguna questions, which can be also plenty, you derive sattvaguna in you. If you die in the mode of sattvaguna, then you urdhva gacchanti sattvakaha. Those who are in sattvastha, that is who are in sattvaguna, they die in that guna, they go to heavenly planets. So you may say it is very good. What is wrong in that? It's wonderful actually. The body will have no stool, no urine, no sweat, no bad smell, long life, no disease, no old age, only birth and death, enjoying with apsaras and beautiful somras and nandanvan flowers and beautiful indescribable food. What is wrong in that? There's only one thing wrong in that. Maybe there are many wrong things, but one most important wrong thing in that is there is birth and death. There is beginning and end. That is the problem. And also, with the kind of enjoyments that we have there, we will forget the purpose of life. We will totally get engrossed in sense gratification. Our consciousness will go to the senses of, for the enjoyment and gratification. Which will again, after the end of this whole story of Swargavas, we come down accept some bodies again. There is no guarantee what body will accept. And again cycles of birth and death. And here there will be also old age and disease added to the package. And again we perform some activities. Again we will be entangled. So one lifetime, if it has to be rewarded, the soul will be rewarded sometime in Swargaloka, sometime in hell for sinful activities, sometime in earthly planet, sometime in animal bodies, sometime in insect bodies. We don't know what kind of combination of package will be given to us as a result of one lifetime in human being on earth. So these are all dangerous propositions. They may give you temporary enjoyments. The enjoyment will be there in Swargaloka also. But it will not be permanent. And the soul can be never satisfied with any temporary enjoyment. It may be thousands of years compared to the hundreds of years life that we have here. But still, the soul can't be happy. Because soul is by nature eternal, and soul is by nature looking for eternal happiness only. And that is only the solution for the soul's quest for happiness. The soul can be become happy only when it is getting permanent happiness. When it comes in touch with eternal, then only soul starts becoming happy. And it becomes one in service to the Lord, then it can become permanently happy. In the middle of so-called physical, mental miseries of material life, now one can be transcendentally happy. That is only possible when we are on the spiritual platform. That is why when we ask questions, you have to understand what is our goal behind asking questions. The goal behind asking questions is satisfying your senses. It will either degrade you to the hell or bring you back on earth again. If your questions are not based on sense gratification, but they are based on liberating yourself from here. Keep, I am too bored in this world. I have come to understanding. Like one level is karmis, you know, fruity workers. They only work for some gain. They are motivated by some material gain. We also are. We are not out of all these things. Some activities we do only to get gain. Sometimes we also chant Hare Krishna and perform bhakti activities also to get some gain. Okay, I will become some powerful position. I will become famous speaker, or I will become, you know, mathadish, or I will become like that. People will follow me. Or I will become a leader. I will become a guru. I will become counselor, like that. This is also devotional activity in the mode of passion. So some gain is there in that. I want some gain. I am not selfless in the activity. But a stage comes where the fruity worker, after getting so many fruits and understanding well that all the fruits that I gain is temporary. Today I get respect as a devotee, tomorrow I will be condemned as a devotee. There is no guarantee. I come in temple, I get respect. When I go in third class train in Virar to Bombay, I will get some disrespect. Somebody will stamp on my foot and insult me and use bad words. In the name of Hare Krishna, they will use some bad words. So, simultaneous respect and disrespect. And after getting so many fruits, you may understand that all things are useless. You know, there is no purpose in enjoying this. Sometimes heat, sometimes cold, sometimes respect, sometimes disrespect, sometimes honor, sometimes dishonor. What is this? This is frustrating. So he may think that I will like to give up this world and go away from this world. So he will rise above his fruity work and think of liberation. He is explained as Jnani. Jnani means he will think this world is useless. This world will not give any satisfaction to me. I must get out of the repeated cycle of birth and death. He is Jnani. But he is motivated with the desire of liberation. It's also gain. It's also material gain. Because in the center of his thoughts and activities, who is there? He himself. He has not put Lord in the center of his activity or thoughts. He is thinking of himself only. As long as the self is in between, it will again and again give you some other results only. So he'll get liberated maybe. He'll acquire knowledge. His questions will be how to get detached, how to attain virakti, how to become detached and leave this world and get out of permanent cycle of birth and death. So his questions will be relevant accordingly. He will not ask about where to get pav bhaji. He will ask about how to get rid of all these attachments, how to give away wealth, how to get detached, what kind of rules and regulations will be followed, where should I go and live, what kind of life I should live, what scriptures I should read. But still, he is not thinking of anybody else, only thinking of himself to get out. One time comes that in the process of acquiring gyan, knowledge, he will come across some mystic perfections. Very tempting today, material world. You come across some person, you have a deadly disease, and you come to know ki that man in Nasik, you know, in the mountain, he will give you some vibhuti and you will be all right. Are there are people in the world, you have gone, I have gone and I have seen so many cancer patients are cured by taking vibhuti with water, 8 days he is all right, all medical reports normal. Please go and visit that sadhu. He will put some air from his mouth in the water and give it to your child and your child will be cured. So, mystic siddhis, you get tempted, oh, I can become like that. I can touch somebody and heal him. I can touch somebody and read his mind. I can see him and read his mind. I can see the future. I can read the horoscope and tell the future. I can complicate and I can manipulate his future also. I can give him some methods by which his future can be altered. I can make a rich man, a poor man very rich. I can make a sick man healthy. I can make an ugly person very beautiful by my powers. There are many people in the world. In the past also they used to be there. They consider themselves as God also sometimes, because people worship them as God. Something miraculous happens, then people will worship the person. And then sometimes that yogi or a jnani, he gets diverted suddenly. He gets allured by these temptations of powers, superhuman powers. There are some siddhis, you know, you can climb on a sun ray, walk on the sun ray and go to the sun planet and not get burnt also. Somebody can levitate and fly in the sky. In this body itself, you can disappear, you can enter a river and appear in some other state of India from the other river there. What they do, Naga Babas in the Kumbh Mela? They enter river in Himalayas and come out straight in Allahabad, Tribeni Sangam. This is Siddhi, you know. It's very tempting. Suppose you come to know that I can also do that. You'll say, forget about liberation, I will go and try to get some power like this, you know. They will put an iron rod through the eyeball and take it out of the head and nothing will happen to them. But then they'll ask money in the end. There was a story in Radhanand Maharaj's book, you know, when yogi, mystic yogi is trying to bewilder everybody in the pilgrimage area in Himalayas. And at the end of the show, he'll put his rod through this eye and came out of this eye to this ear, to this ear. And at the end of the show, he'll say, Bakshis. So the rich man asking, why are you doing all these things? What to do, sir? I have a desire to get married, you know. I want to go down and get married. Now, only thing I have got is this mystic power. So I can display them, make some money, find a good girl and get married and have children and enjoy happy life. This is called diversion. So, questions will be pertinent to this desire that you have. We have to watch which mode we are in by the kind of questions erupt in our mind. And then comes a question after some time, that all this is bogus, you know. This is all temporary. Because I may have mystic powers, they will all leave me when I will die. I may be very rich, but I have to give up all the wealth when I will die. I have a very beautiful body. So many people, so many women, men are attracted to me. They are following me, you know. For example, Michael Jackson, he came to Bombay and he had a concert and he was touching people from the stage and many girls who touched him, they didn't wash their hand for 8 days. You can imagine what kind of craze is there in the world today. So, but what happened to him in the end? It was such a miserable, third class, most degradable death, you know, which a beggar will not like to have and will not have also. Such kind of miserable death he died. You have to see the end of a people. Not when he is famous and he is following and he has money. Watch how the person dies. Jimi Hendrix in 1960s, great people, great artist, you know, great talented personality. Millions of dollars that time he had, so many followings and so much of property and fame and wealth, but died of overdose of sleeping pills. If he is happy with all the things, why he requires sleeping pills? And died because of overdose of sleeping pills. What is the message? That these things will never give us happiness. Money, wealth, property, following, position, influence, beauty, fame that we achieve cannot satisfy the soul. The soul can be satisfied only when it comes in contact with the Supreme Soul and engages himself in the service of the loving service of the Supreme Soul only. There is no other means. all the efforts, all the hard work that people are doing is all futile. They may not know, because in the intoxication of working hard and the intoxication of the motivation of getting the fruit of the action, they may not realize that they are wasting valuable time in life. But whatever beautiful gain that they are going to get, attractive gain, is going to be taken away mercilessly from them at the moment of death. Mrityu sarva harashchaham. In the form of death, Krishna says, I take away everything that you have. So what is there to be proud for? What is there to be, you know, egoistic for? What is there which is going to remain with us to be proud for? Everything is going to go away. So we have to understand that our questions should be always related to our eternal welfare, not temporary welfare. You may go to a beggar and he may be hungry and you may give him food. That may be his temporary welfare. But tomorrow again he is going to get hungry. Oh, he doesn't go to school, so you put him into school and sponsor his education. But it's not going to satisfy him. He has to get a job after that. Then he'll get desire to get married. You have to find a woman for him. Then he'll require a house. Then he'll require land to earn his livelihood or job to earn livelihood. So many things are there. Everything what you do at every step of that poor boy is not going to completely satisfy him. Temporarily he'll be very happy. You gave me food when I'm hungry. You gave me clothes when I was naked. You gave me education when I was uneducated. You gave me a house when I was houseless. But there are millions of needs which are going to arise in the life. And how much you are going to do? Whatever you do is incomplete only. And finally you may say, so many things I did. Finally he got cancer, but I could not treat him because my resources got exhausted. So we have to understand that where does the eternal welfare lie for a living entity? And when questions come on this platform, those are correct inquiries. That is why Parikshit Maharaj didn't ask, what should I do? How to enjoy in these 7 days? Give me the best methods of enjoyment. I have wealth, I have power, I have followers, I have family, I have all influence, and I have beauty and I have strength. Tell me, Gurudev, how can I enjoy these 7 days? He didn't ask that. He asked a relevant question. What is the duty of a person who is in front of death? Now we may all think that I'm not in front of death now. I'm in middle age of my life. Somebody may think I'm in a young age. I'm just beginning my family. I'm just going to have my child. Or I'm just going to get married. I'm just going to start a new job, first job of my life. It's just I'm in a peak of my youth. And why should I listen to this kind of discussion? What is the duty of a person who is going to die? It's irrelevant for me. But who is the person who is in front of death? Everybody. Every single person who takes birth in this material world, jatasahi dhruvo mrityur. His journey towards the inevitable death starts from the day of his birth. And we have seen in the hospital, people die in the womb, people die immediately on the first hour of birth and first day of birth and first month of birth and first year of birth. And everything is possible. Middle age, young people, full of energy, die of cancer, or die of... No, we have so many patients in the hospital right now also, just married, having cancer, deadly cancer, they're going to die. Last time also I spoke, our Sloka Krishna Prabhu, 30-year-old, just married, died of cancer. Which age is death proof, you tell me? So all of us sitting here today in the live body, we have functioning body and I'm also alive. I'm eating, sleeping and doing all activities. But can anybody guarantee I'll get down the hall and I'll be alive? No, I don't know what will happen. People are just... There's a person, I went to Vrindavan last week and I was told in Bhandirvan that he just came out of his house, took his cycle to go do some work in some market, and he fell down on his head and died on the spot. He fell on the head, with brain hemorrhage, and he died. Then they are guessing, you know, maybe he has tumor, he had high blood pressure, and he may have so many things, but he's gone. Just 35-year-old man. His young wife with two small girls are widow, helpless. So which is the age? You may feel I'm very healthy and I do yoga every day and I eat very controlled manner. I eat only selected food and my life is very regulated and I'm very much, you know, punctual about health and everything and I have nothing wrong in my health. Every report is normal. I am going to the doctor every 6 months and doing my health checkup. And then what happens? You walk on the road and a truck comes and crushes you and takes you away. So many deaths are there. So many deaths. A devotee yesterday, Kunti Bhoj Prabhu, was traveling to Vashi, crushed by accident. No, he's in the hospital. Fortunately, he survived with some injuries. Padam padam yat vipadam natesham. In this life, there's danger at every step. We may be very happy in our family life, having children, money, enjoyment, and so to, you know, well-to-do life. But no guarantee is there that tomorrow we will live. In fact, just now before coming here, I was talking to my wife that our Gurudev mentioned one time that there is a volcano in everybody's body. When it will erupt, we don't know. Like the girl who got married and in 3 months' time she was diagnosed to have cancer. So we are thinking that, oh, that means when she was getting married, she already had a cancer in the body. So not diagnosed that time. It just got manifested after 3 months. So who knows, at this very moment of time when we are sitting here and listening and talking, what is going on in our life, in the body, which part of the body, what is happening, no one knows. How many of us have inhaled swine flu viruses? How many of us are harboring some prodromal period of some disease? Some period, no, when we get infected and it takes time to manifest. It's called as prodromal period. How many of us are in that period of some diseases, some malaria, typhoid, some swine flu, some cancer? We don't know. Nothing is known. Even doctors are trying to find in darkness, and some reports tell you something, but many reports don't tell you anything. And still the diseases are there in the body. Nothing is in our hands. We are totally helpless at the mercy of the laws of nature. And no one can control them. No one can decide, ki, I will not die of cancer. I will die only of old age. Nobody can decide that. In fact, more and more we go in Kali Yuga, more and more helpless we become. We don't understand what's happening. Water is not available here. Temperature is rising day by day. This is our day-to-day life. Frustrating life. And news keep coming regularly that 7 people fall from 10 every day and die. And 35,000 children are killed every day in the womb of their mother. And so many people die out of cancer. And one out of three is dying out of AIDS. And then swine flu has taken so many lives. And normal influenza has taken so many lives. And so many things are coming in paper. If you open the newspaper, there are many news of death every day. Right? Many, many news. You open the newspaper, there is news of death everywhere on every page. And it will come on front page if there are more deaths. Then there is bomb blast. And then there is some terrorism. And people are dying. Children are dying. Old people are dying. There's wars going on. Millions of causes of death, and everybody is prone to be under one of the cause of death, and we can't claim that we will live. That is why the question put by Parikshit Maharaj is very relevant for all of us. And in short, the gist of the answer of 18,000 shlokas, that one has to understand how to connect with the Lord. That is the answer to this question. In short, the essence of the answer. He explained in a very beautiful manner. Also, you know, answer he made into such a editing manner that there was no details required. So many things he did not told. Those are told in Puranas, in descriptions. But suffice to say, he brought him to such a level of consciousness by his answer, and he got him attached to Supreme Personality of Godhead Sri Krishna so beautifully that it is explained that at the end of 7 days, when he completed his narration, Parikshit Maharaj transcended his bodily attachment. He was already beyond the bodily attachment. Actually, he quit the body much before the time of his actual death. And for a formality's sake, the snake bird came, bit him, and his body died as dead body. But the soul, Parikshit Maharaj, had left for superior kingdom of the Lord much before actually the death took place. I was reading yesterday the book of His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Swami. Is no more with us, unfortunately. He has a book called Die Before Dying. Very beautiful book. What is the meaning of that? Die before you die. Which means, die from the material consciousness before you actually die. And live up to the spiritual consciousness before we die. When we put end to our material life and start spiritual life, that is really life. Rest all is jivata shavasaman. We are living, but we are like walking ghosts, walking dead bodies. You know why? Because we are totally engrossed in activities of sense gratification. Simply interested into gratifying our eyes and ears and tongue and genitals and belly and other organs and everything. So we have to wake up actually. So he said that the transition of death can be a beautiful experience. You can put off the fan. Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj gives a message that the experience of death can be a very beautiful one, can be a very ornamented one, can be an experience which we can long for. Now we are very much worried and fearful about the death that may come and what will happen, and I don't know what will happen, am I prepared for that, will I go after death, whether God will punish me, whether he is angry with me, or what sins I have done, am I enough performed bhakti in my life, or which loka I will be going to, which body I will go to. You don't know anything. So it may be a very ghastly experience. But if one is on the platform of the soul and is always inquiring, athato brahma jigyasa, inquiring about the supreme, inquiring about the soul, then the end of life will become a very beautiful experience. Why? Because if we situate ourselves in spiritual consciousness, what will happen at the moment of death is we will meet our dear, loving, Supreme Lord Sri Krishna. So you will long for that moment. When I will meet my beloved friend Sri Krishna. Today I am lost in the material body, in the material world here, doing so many activities entangling to me, birth, old age, disease and death, I am totally locked in the activities. But that day, if I am prepared, my friend Supreme Lord Sri Krishna will come and receive me, put me on his chariot and take me back to his kingdom to enjoy eternal relationship with him in Golok Vrindavan. I will never have to take birth again. I will never have a body which is smelling, rotting, passing stool and urine and aging and having disease and death one day, again birth, again death. There will be an eternal youthful body full of fragrance, beautiful locations, beautiful kunjas and nikunjas and rivers and mountains and flowers, and all trees will be desired trees. All sand, all the particles of dust will be chintamani. Every step will be dance over there. Every word will be poetry over there. Every activity, interaction will be of only love. It will be madhurya dham. It will be experience of love and satisfaction constantly. No hankering, no lamentation. Na shochati, na kangshati. If that is our next destination, then death can be a very beautiful experience. And how to transform the ghastly affair into a beautiful affair? We have to read Srimad Bhagavatam for that. And learn in the previous chapter, the first chapter, what are the queries put forward by the sages. All the queries in essence are about the soul. All the queries in essence are about everybody else's welfare, not the self. When the self goes out of your activities and Lord comes in, at that position, then you become spiritual, then you become transcendental. Even though we become jnanis and hanker for liberation in Himalayas, still we are on the material platform. What makes us go on spiritual platform is connection with the Supreme Lord, who is Satchidananda Vigraha, whose whole existence is only spiritual, eternal, full of knowledge and bliss. And we, when we get connected to Him, our life becomes spiritual right from that moment. The time you say Hare Krishna, first time in life, your spirituality has begun. Rupa Goswami says that person should be respected in mind at least. One who has chanted the name of Krishna once. One who chants names of Krishna regularly. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And one who accepts initiation from Sri Gurudev, one should bow down to him and offer dandavat pranam to him. And then further he progresses and he becomes guru. One should surrender to him, take counsel from him, take guidance from him. It is said that once you chant the name of Krishna from the bottom of the heart, all your sins can be eradicated at once. This is the power of the holy name. ఎనర్జీ ఔషధి లాగు ఎనర్జీ ఔషధి, వాట్ ఇస్ దాట్, నష్టబరో లాగి హరినామ మహామంత్ర లావో తుమి మాగి. దిస్ ఇస్ ది సుప్రీం మెడిసిన్ ఆన్ భవరోగ్, కెన్ ఇన్స్టంట్లీ రిలీవ్ యూ ఆఫ్ ది రిపీటెడ్ సైకిల్స్ ఆఫ్ బర్త్ అండ్ డెత్. యూ మస్ట్ హ్యావ్ ఫేత్. గజేంద్ర కాల్డ్ అవుట్ ది లార్డ్ ఇన్ మోస్ట్ హెల్ప్లెస్ అండ్ ఫ్రమ్ ది హార్ట్ విదౌట్ కమిటింగ్ ఎనీ ఆఫెన్సెస్. దట్స్ వై ఇన్స్టంట్లీ లార్డ్ అపియర్ ఫ్రమ్ వైకుంఠ ఫర్ హిమ్. కింగ్ ఖట్వాంగ లాస్ట్ మూమెంట్ ఆఫ్టర్ ఫైటింగ్ థౌజండ్స్ ఆఫ్ ఇయర్స్ బ్యాటిల్ ఫర్ డెమిగాడ్స్ ఫార్ శ్రీకృష్ణ ఆన్ ద సైడ్ ఆఫ్ డెమిగాడ్స్ అగేన్స్ట్ డీమన్స్ ఇన్ వన్ మూమెంట్ ఈ థాట్ ఆఫ్ ద లార్డ్ అండ్ ఈ వెంట్ బ్యాక్ టు గాడ్ ఇట్. హరిదాస్ ఠాకూర్ హోల్ లైఫ్ డెడికేటెడ్ టు హోలీ నేమ్ డైడ్ ఇన్ ద హ్యాండ్స్ ఆఫ్ చైతన్య మహాప్రభు హూ పర్సనలీ టుక్ హిమ్ టు స్పిరిచువల్ అబోర్డ్. సో వన్స్ వై ఐ ఆల్వేస్ నో కీప్ ఆన్ సేయింగ్ ఇన్ బిట్వీన్ పుకారో ప్లీజ్ చాంట్ ప్లీజ్ కాల్ అవుట్ బికాస్ వాట్ వీ ల్యాక్ వెన్ వీ చాంట్ ఈజ్ అటెన్షన్ టు ద హోలీ నేమ్. అవర్ మైండ్స్ ఆర్ ఆల్ డివైడెడ్ ఇన్ టు మెనియస్ థాట్స్. ఇఫ్ యూ టేక్ అవుట్ సమ్ టైమ్ వెన్ కీర్తన్ ఇస్ గోయింగ్ ఆన్ చాంటింగ్ ఇస్ గోయింగ్ ఆన్ అండ్ రియలీ పుట్ అవర్ హార్ట్ ఇన్ టు ఇట్ మిరాకల్స్ కెన్ టేక్ ప్లేస్ ఇన్ యువర్ లైఫ్ బికాస్ ఆఫ్ అటెన్షన్. సో ధ్యాన్ పూర్వక్ జప్ అటెంటివ్ రిసైటేషన్ ఆఫ్ ది హోలీ నేమ్ ఈజ్ వాట్ ఈస్ ఇంపార్టెంట్. వీ మే నాట్ బి ఏబుల్ టు చాంట్ 24 hours a డే ఇన్ ద బిగినింగ్ స్టేజ్ ఆఫ్ కృష్ణ కాన్షియస్నెస్ బట్ వెన్ ఎవర్ వీ చాంట్ వీ షుడ్ చాంట్ ఫ్రమ్ ది బాటమ్ ఆఫ్ ద హార్ట్. ఇట్ షుడ్ బి కాలింగ్, ఇట్ షుడ్ నాట్ బి జస్ట్ మెకానికల్ రెసిటేషన్ లైక్ అ ప్యారెట్. ఇట్ షుడ్ బి కాలింగ్ ఫ్రమ్ ది బాటమ్ ఆఫ్ ద హార్ట్. ఇట్ షుడ్ బి ఇన్ అ హెల్ప్లెస్ మూడ్ దట్ ఐ మే బి రిచ్ బ్యూటిఫుల్ పవర్ఫుల్ ఇన్ఫ్లుయెన్షియల్ బట్ ఐ నో ఎవ్రీథింగ్ ఇస్ గోన్ టు గో అవే ఓ మై లార్డ్ యాక్చువల్లీ ఐఎమ్ హెల్ప్లెస్ ఇన్ దిస్ మెటీరియల్ వరల్డ్ విదౌట్ యువర్ హెల్ప్. So please, my Lord, come in my life. Take charge of my life. And ask questions pertaining to that situation. How do I take charge? How Krishna will take charge of my life? How do I surrender myself? What do I need to do? How do I serve my Gurudev? How do I look at the deities? How can I make my life spiritual? How every step, every word, I can make it Krishna conscious. Those questions are required to be asked. Because no, you don't know, we don't know whether tomorrow we can ask those questions or not. Tomorrow our state of mind and consciousness will be so complicated because of situations that we may not be able to ask these questions. Today it is time. Prana prayana samayi kafavata pittav kanthavarodhana vidhau smaranam kutaste. Today is the time when I am all right, my health is fine, my mind is okay, I have enough resources to live, I have enough food to eat, I have got good sleep, I have no disease. I can inquire about my goal of life. But tomorrow when I will be facing with the moment of death, kapha vata pitta will choke my throat. And is there any guarantee that I will be able to call the Lord or inquire or question or ask for help? I don't know. I will be totally bewildered. I'll be engulfed in the situation. They will drag me to think about so many things in life. And what I will do? There is no opportunity. That is why, as soon as he was cursed to die in 7 days, instantly he left to ask the questions. And he started the basic question when he goes on asking also. It's not just a lecture of Sukhdev Goswami. This is a dialogue between two personalities every time. The whole scripture, Srimad Bhagavatam, in fact, all the Vedas, is dialogue between two souls. Two people are discussing. One is asking, another is answering. Then in answer, he'll give another story when somebody else was asking and somebody else was answering as reference. So whole scripture is Shruti as a dialogue between two great souls. And in this scripture, there is nothing fruitive in this. There is nothing containing liberation. There is nothing containing mystic perfections. This scripture contains only the kalyan, the welfare of the soul, which is service to the Supreme Lord in pure devotional consciousness. So let us tune our mind and consciousness and intelligence to ask spiritual questions. Whenever mind is obsessed with material questions, tamaguna questions, rajaguna questions, train your mind not to ask such questions. Now how we can do that? Keep company of devotees. Because the company of devotees, we don't talk about share market. We're not supposed to. We don't talk about share market and what is the latest in the market and what kind of dresses are coming, which latest movie is coming on this Friday and what mall is opening where. We don't talk all these things. We come to temple only to talk about Sri Krishna and try to establish ourselves, whatever little time we have got, how to become more Krishna conscious. That is our purpose of coming to temple. Rather, we should evaluate why we are coming to temple. Are we here also coming and trying to sell LIC policies and trying to, you know, sell our product in to devotees because we know many devotees here? And are we talking about here also, okay, let's put money in shares and secure our life? No, sir. This place is not meant for that. This place is meant for inquiry about the soul and its connection with the Lord. Otherwise, don't come here. Go to some mall and discuss about products over there. But this place can deliver you from cycle of birth and death. Ask questions here, which will take you back to Godhead. And two people don't have any questions. A person who has understood everything, he will not ask any question, he will just act upon the knowledge that he has received. And second person is the fool who has not understood anything. So he also won't have any question. And I don't think we are fully realized or fully fool. So we must have questions. We have to keep on asking questions. How to get relieved of this entanglement? How to get out? How to make sure that I will be with the Lord at the moment of my departure from here? And if I am not at the moment with the Lord, what is the guarantee that I will be with the Lord when I will depart? At that moment when there's a pain like 40,000 poisonous snakes biting you all together at once, that kind of pain is there at the moment of death when the body is going to be ripped apart from the soul. If you want to be Krishna conscious at that time, today you should be Krishna conscious. When there is pinprick, when there is injection prick, when there is some pain, when there is some boil, you have to learn to become Krishna conscious today. When small pains Krishna is sending to train you and train us. And more pains Krishna will train you so that you can tolerate the pain of death and still remember him. So it's not a joke, you know, it's not just like studying previous evening and awake in the night and giving exam next day and passing with flying colors. No, sir, it's not like that. We do that in medical and all. You know, maja kar kar ke end mein raat ko fir padhai karte hain. Somehow we get first class. It is not going to work out like that. It is a lifetime in preparation. We have to use every moment of life now to prepare for the exam of death. Then only we can hope to succeed. That too not with our power, with our efforts, powers of our efforts. It will be Krishna's mercy. If he will see that you have put your 100% effort, whatever capacity you have, with your capacity you put 100% effort now, then Krishna will think, yes, he has done his best, now I'll do my best. But if we fail to do our best, there is no guarantee that he will do his best. Because he says, ye yatha mam prapadyante tam tathaiva bhajamyaham. As and how you come to me, I reward you accordingly. So if you do 80% efforts, I will reward you 80%. Very simple logic. So we have to make sure that right now when everything is fine, ask questions how to connect to Krishna 100%. The easiest way is to chant his name. Easiest way is to chant his name and to connect with him. And in this age, there's not even order to us that we should go to Himalayas, giving up families and money and wealth and situations and then meditate there on the Supreme Lord. It's not possible in Kali Yuga. Even sannyas is not recommended in Kali Yuga. What is recommended in Kali Yuga is daily have association of devotees. Chant the holy name of the Lord every day. Follow principles of purification. Non-violence, be merciful to every living entity, clean your heart, daily chanting Hare Krishna, read scriptures. Be with the devotees and inquire about the soul. And do your job, do your duties nicely, no problem at all. And continue to keep doing it. Don't worry what's happening to my karmas, are they getting washed off or not. Do your sadhana very seriously every single day. And Prabhupada says that gradually and automatically you will keep progressing towards me. That is Sri Krishna. And in between, whenever you get fumbled, you have difficulties, keep asking questions. How to stand up again? I have failed now in my devotional service somehow. There's some mishap in between. Please give me a hand. How to rise up again? How to put me back into the path of spiritual progress? That is a relevant question. So the sages here are asking relevant questions. And relevant question means questions related to the soul's welfare. That's all. And if we really are ourselves on the platform of soul's welfare, we will not keep quiet. We will also put our kinsmen, our dear ones, our friends, our children, family members, everybody on this path. And also put questions for them, how to encourage them. My husband is not coming to temple regularly and he is not interested, he smokes. How to inspire him? My wife is not interested, how to inspire her? My children are watching television day and night, how to get them back to their original goal of life? Ask such kind of questions. Lord Sri Krishna will be very, very kind upon all of us to give answers to such questions. But he may not be able to answer your questions like, where will I earn money more? How will I become famous? How will I become successful? We may not get. But if we ask questions about the soul's unity, union with the Lord, you will get answers. Sri Krishna will surely arrange for you to get the answers. So let us learn to ask relevant questions and make our life successful. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. So now, if there are any questions, you can ask. Yes, Rabbi. Yes. 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 See, Satyam Param Dhimahi, which actually means that I meditate upon the absolute truth. Satyam is absolute truth. And Dhimai means I meditate upon. The simple meaning. The Lord is, the sloka is recited here. And in the end it is mentioned that to that Supreme Personality of Godhead who is the absolute truth, I meditate upon Him. The simple meaning behind it. Nothing else. Like Janmadasyata, what is described over here? I'll read the sloka for your benefit. O my Lord Sri Krishna, Son of Vasudev, O all-pervading personality of Godhead, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. I meditate upon Sri Krishna because he is the absolute truth. This is the meaning of Satyam Param Dhimahi. And who is primeval cause of all the causes, sustenance, creation and destruction of the manifested universes. This means creation, maintenance and destruction. He is the sole authority to do that. He is directly and indirectly conscious of all manifestations. He is independent because there is no other cause behind him. It is he only who first imparted knowledge unto the heart of Brahmaji. Tene Brahma Rudaya Adi Kavaye, the original living being. By him, even the great sages and demigods are placed into illusion. What is that verse here? Word here? Muyanti Yat Suraya. All the great souls are also bewildered by his wonderful activities. They get completely confused. Even Brahmaji also gets completely confused several times. As one is bewildered by the illusory representations of water seen on fire and land seen on water. Only because of him do the material universes temporarily manifested by the reactions of three modes of nature appear factual. Sattva, Rajan, Tamaguna are not factual actually, they are actually temporary. But they also appear factual by the power of his external potency. Such is the personality. Although they are unreal, I therefore meditate upon him, Lord Sri Krishna, who is eternally existent in the transcendental abode, which is forever free from illusory representations of the material world. His kingdom, which I described few words, is free from the influence of three modes of material nature. Is eternal. transcendental. It's called as transcendental because it is beyond the three modes of material nature. I meditate upon him, for he is the absolute truth. This is the word-to-word meaning of the first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. And it's very instructive verse which tells us who the Lord is. He is the Lord of not only material creations, but is the creator of the spiritual world also. There is 3/4 of spiritual world and supposed to be 1/4 of material world. In the corner of the spiritual world, there is a cloud called Mahat Tattva. Under the shadow of that Mahat Tattva, there is darkness. And in that darkness, there is creation of material world, which is influenced by Sattva, Raja and Tama, by the external energy of the Lord. And this part of the world is fully illuminated with the light coming from the body of Lord Sri Krishna called Brahma Jyoti, in which lots of Vaikuntha planets are floating, and internal energy of the Lord is controlling the whole spiritual creation, including the supreme abode of Gaulok Vrindavan, where Lord Sri Krishna also resides personally with his close friends. To that personality I meditate upon. I think of him, I am meditating upon him. That is what is mentioned here. And in essence, even one word of one shloka of 18,000 shlokas of Srimad Bhagavatam is enough for us to take us back home, back to Godhead. That we should understand. One word of this shloka is also enough for you to give complete realization if our consciousness is clean and pure. So much power is there, because this is Trigunatita. Amalam Puranam. There is no mala of any material desires. There is no contamination. There is no dosha. This is completely free spiritual literature. And it is said, Thakur Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was telling, that if there is a pralaya and everything gets destroyed, all literatures, Vedas, Bible, Quran, and Bodhisamhita and Torah, and everything gets destroyed, and only Srimad Bhagavatam remains, so nothing is lost. Everything can be revived. Kimva Parareshwari. If you have Srimad Bhagavatam, what else you need in life to perfect your life? This is what this next shloka has that question. Kimva Parareshwari. See, Srimad Bhagavate Mahamunikrate Kimva Parareshwaraha Sadhyo Rudya Varudhatetra Kritibhi Shushrushibhi Sattatshanat. Such a powerful literature. But we should approach it and study it and make our life Srimad Bhagavatam. Make our life as an application of the principles and teachings given by Srimad Bhagavatam. And that is what is human life meant for. If human life, we don't read Srimad Bhagavatam and acquire spiritual knowledge, then this whole life is a mere waste, dreary waste. No, it's a simply waste of time. That's why daily it is a Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Daily, even if you study one verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, as Prabhupada has planned in all temples, daily, religiously, sincerely, attentively, you study one verse, your life will become perfect. Daily, just one verse you read and go to your work, no problem. And it is also mentioned that Srimad Bhagavatam is answer to all questions. Another beauty of Srimad Bhagavatam is whatever relevant inquiry you have about the soul, this will be answered in this. What else you want in life? Yes.
How to try out worldly things from the mind and establish Lord Krishna?
In short, you have to keep company of people who also want to take out all worldly things from their mind. You have to find like-minded company who are also interested in the same purpose that you are looking for. And follow some regulative principles in life which will free you from such kind of thoughts and desires. And regularly chant the holy name of the Lord, which is Cheto Dharpadam Marjanam. It will cleanse your heart of all those desires which are distracting you from Sri Krishna's concentration and meditation. It's very simple actually. I said, cleanse your mind with daily chanting Hare Krishna, Maha Mantra or bona fide names of the Lord. Keep company of devotees who are also like-minded, who also want to forget everything and think of Krishna. That's it. Simple. Anybody else? As a relevant question? Shall we end here? Shall we do Kirtan, Prabhuji, in the end? 5 minutes? Okay. Now I will request all of you to really apply your heart in the holy name. So the only solution for our salvation is the holy name. So for the next 5 minutes, just put yourself in the straight position, attentive position, straight spines, fresh minds and enthusiastic, and call out the holy name from the bottom of your heart in a helpless condition, at least for a few minutes, knowing well that we are truly helpless and we require to think of the Lord. Or you can put the fan also. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.